1 will be from starting in John chapter number 14. And we've got your place. I'll invite you to stand. Here's the reading of God's Word. John chapter number 14 and verse number 1, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way, you know." I'll ask David if he would lead us in a word of prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you and praise you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, Lord, for all that's been done thus far in the service. Lord, we pray that you touch Adam now and strengthen him and encourage him. Lord, help him as he stands and preaches and proclaims your word. Lord, we pray that you bring to memory all those things that he said. Lord, I pray that you just have your will in your way in all that's done in the purpose of this service. Lord, we're thankful for your goodness and mercy and grace upon us. Lord, now we just look to you for instruction and guidance. Lord, I pray that you touch and move, if you see fit in the service. All these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
We got just a few thoughts this morning we'd like to share with you with the help of the Lord as we begin out. We look in John chapter number 14 in these few verses here. We see the circumstances that's going to take place in the next little bit in the life of Christ. And we see that the Lord's telling him he knows he's going to go to the cross. He knows that the disciples that he's talking to, is their world's fixing to be turned upside down. They're going to face one of the darkest hours that they're ever going to face in their life. And they've trusted in the Lord. They believe that God was there to be with them, to help them, to guide them, to lead them and direct them. And they're expecting the Lord to be there for a long time with them in their walk of life. That's what they're expecting in their life. But the Lord knows, and he's told them time and time again that he's going to have to go, he's going to have to face a cross. And he's reiterating some things to them in these first four verses. He lets them know that in the time it's going to seem like it's their darkest hour, and the time it's going to seem like they're facing the worst trial that they're ever going to come up against, that there is a hope. And the same is true for you and I. We go through life, and just the world that we live in, as Chris has already talked about this morning, is enough to get us discouraged and get us down. But then inside the house of God and inside of our lives, we face trial after trial after trial and valley after valley. There's homes that are hurting, families that are hurting, as people are facing all kinds of sicknesses in their body. And it gets to the point in life to where when you're facing those trials, you begin to question at times of, Lord, is it really worth it? And what's the point of going on? And you get so down and discouraged. And there's some things that I see other people go through in their life, and I think, what if that was to hit mine? What would I do? Could I make it through and just be all right? Could I keep going on for the cause of Christ? But I really couldn't say. I might just throw my hands up and quit. And that's the flesh that's inside of us. And the Lord knows what they're fixing to face, and he knows what we're facing. But the Lord begins to give them a little bit of hope in their life. He says, let not your heart be troubled. But he says he's going to prepare a place, and he's going to make it to where everything's going to be set right for the child of God, and we're going to have a hope. And that's what I want to think about for just a few minutes this morning. It's what heaven's going to be like for the child of God. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation. I'm going to start in Revelation chapter number 4. First thing we notice, we begin to look at heaven and the hope that the child of God would have. And I know a lot of times in life, my problems seem big. But when my problems seem big, I like to go and I like to read about what's in store. And it just makes my God seem so much bigger than my problems. And the times that I'm down in life, or the times it seems like I get discouraged or don't know what to do, I begin to think about home and what it's going to be like. And I'll tell you, it helps me to keep going on. It helps keep me motivated, knowing that God's got something in store for me and my life and for the bride of Christ. In chapter number 4 and verse number 8, the Word of God will tell us, it says, "And the four beasts had each of them 6 wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." Flip over a page to chapter number 7 and verse number 11. The Word of God will tell us, it says, "And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God." And verse number 15, it says, "Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He sitteth on the throne, and He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them." You say, what's the first thing that you notice about heaven? I notice that there's an excitement in heaven like we've never seen down here in this walk of life. I begin to read about the worship that's going to take place in heaven. And I don't know if you know it or not, there's more in the book of Revelations about God's judgment than there is about us going home. You say, why is that? It's because we couldn't handle the excitement of what God has in store for us in one of these coming days. But we see in chapter 4 and verse number 8 that we see the cherubims and seraphims around the throne worshiping God. We see the angels around the throne and the 24 elders are worshiping God in chapter 7. But in verse number 15 of chapter number 7, that is you and I that's around the throne of God. And it's going to be a worship service and excitement like we've never known before. You can think about times where God has given us glimpses of that inside of the house of God. As though the Lord would come in sometimes and He would sit in a service. And in my imagination, I'm imagining what it's going to be like. It doesn't actually lay it out. But I'm thinking about what it's going to be like. And I think it's going to be like a testimony service around the throne of God in my mind. I believe that in those times when we get inside the house of God and somebody stands up and they begin to thank God. And they begin to thank God for His saving grace and for the mercy and grace upon their life. And it seems like they could go on and on and on. And that list just keep building. And then when they sit down, it seems like they're done. The next person pops up and they keep on going. I believe that's what it's going to be like in heaven. I believe when we get around the throne of God, I believe we're going to begin to worship. And my feeble mind ain't going to forget things that God's done for me. Instead, I'm going to know full well everything that God has done. He's kept me from, protected me from, every blessing that He's bestowed upon my life. I'm going to get my turn to bow around the throne of God. And I'm going to get my turn to make known what all He done for me when He died on the cross of Calvary. And get to stand before Him and worship Him as He's worthy of. I believe in the midst of all that, I believe there's going to be some shouting takes place. You know, when we get inside of those worship services and people begin to testify, there's some people will stand up and shout. I can't help but think when we get to heaven and we see full well what God's done for me in my life and He's done for you in your life, that we're going to stand up and shout. It's going to be an excitement. You think about the best way I can relate it, you think about when the president's out campaigning, making a speech. And he would go to speaking, and then the crowd would get stirred up, and he'd have to stop and wait a minute, and let it die back down, and he would go again. I believe that's what it's going to be like in heaven as we're around the throne of God. And we begin to worship Him for who He is, and what He's worthy of, and everything that He's done for me in my heart and life. There's not going to be any restraints. You think about the services that we've been in before, and when the Lord moves in, that hour to hour and a half of service, it seems like these bodies get drained physically or emotionally and mentally. It seems like we've had enough. We can't take no more. You say, what's happening over there? I'm going to be in that glorified body. There's not going to be no wearing out. As the Word of God will tell us in verse 15, it's day and night. For all eternity, I'm not going to want to stop. My desire's not going to be anywhere else. But it's going to be around the throne of God to be able to worship Him.
Pastor, you're not going to have to worry about that voice no more. You're not going to have to worry about a body that ain't going to be able to stand up and thank the Lord. You say, why? Because the Word of God will tell us we're going to be in His likeness. We're going to be glorified. We're not going to have older bodies that are wearing out. Instead, I believe we're going to be of the age of the Lord of what He was when He was crucified. And we're going to have an everlasting body that's not going to give out in worshiping God. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when we get to the throne and see Him face to face? Oh, I've seen some amazing things down here in this walk of life. I've met some people that, were high up on the totem pole. But I've never seen Him face to face. And I've never been able to really encounter His glory like we're going to see it over there. I've never been able to worship Him down here like He's worthy of. But there's a coming a day where I'm going to be around that throne and worshiping Him. There's nothing going to keep me from doing that. There's nothing going to hinder that kind of service unto our Lord. We're going to have worship inside of heaven for the child of God. But not only that, in Revelation, so chapter number 21 and 22, I just want to pull from a few verses in this chapter, these chapters. In Revelation chapter number 21, in verse number 21, it says, in verse 21, it says, the 12 gates were to have 12 pearls. Every single gate was of one pearl, and the street of gold, street of the city was pure gold, and it was transparent as glass. In chapter number 22, in verse number 1, it says, and He showed me a pure river of water of life. You say, what's something else that's going to make heaven wonderful? Well, what's going to make heaven wonderful is the purity of it. You know, we've never seen anything in its pure form like we're going to see over there. I know from having to look at a ring last year that there's different grades of stuff. And you've got to be a rich person to afford the highest grade, but it still has imperfections in it. But He's just saying that gold that's on the street up in heaven is pure. It's going to be like nothing we've ever seen. You take them rings, ladies, and you let that shine get knocked off of them, you're going to see them a little cloudy because that gold's imperfect. Now, I don't know if any of you's ever drunk some bad water before out of a creek, but I have, and it ain't pretty. It's bad. I mean, real bad. But you think about what it's going to be like to have that pure water of life up there. You think about what it's going to be like to see everything in its pure form and the beauties of heaven. But not only the beauties of heaven in that form, but there's going to be a purified body that we're going to be in. That's that glorified body. And when I think about that glorified body, I look at a few different verses, and it talks about there will be no more curse in verse number 3 of chapter number 22. And in verse number 27 of chapter 21, it says, there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying that when we get to heaven, I'm not going to have to worry about sin getting in the way of my service unto God. I'm not going to have to worry about a world getting me distracted. I'm not going to have to worry about things of life and problems and troubles coming in and keeping me from worshiping God. But instead, there's going to be a glorified body that knows no sin. There's going to be no remembrance of sin in our minds. There's going to be nothing that can corrupt us on life's other side. When you think about no defilement and no curse, you think about nature. You think the beauty of what heaven's going to be like. There's going to be no briar thickets. There's going to be no privet hedge bushes. There's going to be none of that. You just think about the beauties of heaven. Everything's set in perfect. There's going to be no more fall. There's going to be no more winter. No more death in any way, shape, or form. The beauties of heaven. But what gets me excited is verse number 23 of chapter 21. And it said, the city had no need of sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. I go to looking at that verse, and I think about the darkness that we experience in this life. But what I think about is when the times I go through trials or go through valleys, it seems like I get down. The times that I try to get a hold of God, and it seems like their prayers are not going up. And it seems like God's not within 1,000 miles of you at that point in time. And it seems like you can't get a hold of Him. When we get to heaven, there's going to be none of that. There's going to be none of them dark times in my life spiritually. There's going to be none of those, not just darkness in general, but darkness around the child of God. There's going to be none of that, but it says that the Lord is the light. When He's the light, it means it's the glory of the Lord radiating around you and I. His glory is going to be encompassing us. I want to tell you, we've never experienced the true glory of God. We've never experienced everything in its pure form like we're going to see when it gets to life's other side. You and I can't comprehend what the Lord has in store for us. But just a few things about it will get us excited. But it talks about, in that verse number 21, it says, and the street of the city was of pure gold. You go to thinking about how big that city's going to be, and it says the street. It doesn't say a street or one of the streets, but it says the street. There is one road in heaven. And our Lord's going to be at the end of that thing. There's not going to be distractions like there is down here in this walk of life. There's not going to be any kind of questions of, Lord, if I go this direction, what's going to happen? Am I going to be where I need to be with you? But on life's other side, everything's going to be about our Lord and His glory. When I look at these verses, I begin to see some things that heaven's wonderful because of that purity. It's wonderful because of the no curse. It's wonderful because there will be no defilement. It's wonderful because there will be no more darkness. But we see it's wonderful because of the beauty of that city. Right here we see the vastness of the city. We see, when you do the calculation, I think it come out to 1,500 miles a square. That's how big the city's going to be that you and I are going to be in. And it begins to describe that city and all the beauties that's in it. The gates of pearl, the walls of jasper, the streets of gold, the mansion that's going to be there, as he talked about over in John chapter 14 that we read. You think about all that stuff and you think, well, I don't love the city. I don't either. I don't like going out. I like to be where I'm surrounded by woods and not many people around. But there's a coming a day that I'm looking forward to, that I'm going to move inside of a city that's filled with the glory of God. And when I step on the scenes of heaven, I believe my mouth will drop open in awe at the creation that God has in store for you and I. We build a lot of houses, a lot of big houses. I mean, $750,000 houses. And you think about people who have never seen those things, and they come in and they just stand back and they would look and they'd think, man, alive, look at how beautiful that stuff is. But I want to tell you, there's flaws in my construction. There's flaws in their construction. But when we get to heaven, everything is going to be perfect in the construction of our Lord. And we're going to stand back in awe at the beauty of what God has had in store for you and I. And you think about, well, I've got a mansion on life's other side. That ain't the main focus of heaven. It ain't of what I've got to live in over there, because I'm going to be around the throne of God. I believe that's the focus of heaven. That's what heaven is about. It's not about things that I've got in store over there, but it's about going to worship Him because He's worthy of that. Heaven is wonderful because of the beauty that's going to be in heaven. But heaven is going to be wonderful because of some things that are not going to be inside of heaven. The Word of God would tell us in chapter 21 and verse number 4, it says, and God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither there shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. He said, what's going to make heaven more wonderful? What's going to make it wonderful? Some things that we're no longer going to experience in our life. It says there will be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more sadness. There's going to be no more death. There's going to be no more night. There's going to be no more sin. There's going to be no more hospitals. There's going to be no more funeral homes. There's going to be nothing that's any kind of picture of corruption inside of heaven. I want to tell you, when you get up in the mornings, there's going to be no backs of hurting. There's going to be no bodies of failing you wondering if you're going to make it through the day. There's going to be no trying to just get on because you're hurting. There's going to be no more sicknesses to plague these bodies. There's going to be no more hospital visits because people's laying up in there fixing to die. There's going to be no more visiting funeral homes and consoling families. There's going to be none of that inside of heaven. But instead, it's just going to be joy and bliss. I thank God that there's some things that's not going to be inside of heaven. But not only that, heaven's going to be wonderful because who is there? We look in, through the book of Revelations and you begin to see who's there. And we see the cherubims and seraphims. We see the angels up in heaven. And we see the beauty of them as it's mentioned. And John is just awestruck at the beauty of just those creatures that God has created. And the majesty of them. And it talks about the light coming off the angel and how glorified they are just in their creation. But also we see the 144,000 of the remnant of Israel. We see the 24 elders that are around the throne of God. But we also know that the saints of God is going to be there. In 1 Thessalonians in chapter number 4, it talks about when the Lord comes back to rapture the church out. He said the dead in Christ will rise first, and those which are alive and remain will be called out. He's just saying, and I'm going to go ahead and clear this up, when somebody takes their last breath here and exhales, they're inhaling on life's other side. There's no souls laying in that grave. It's just a fleshly body. They're going to be raptured out. As we go, everything's going to be brought together as one, as the bride of Christ. Everybody that's died and went on is already in heaven. They're already around the throne of God worshiping Him. When the Lord comes back to take us home, we're all going to be there. That excites me. That loved ones that have died and gone on. It excites me that church members that have died and gone on that we once mourned for, we're going to see them again one of these days. And we're going to be able to worship around the throne with them. Those kids that have died. Chris already mentioned all those that are aborted, those innocent lives. They're in heaven. They're around the throne of God worshiping Him. But I don't believe that they're little babies anymore. I don't believe that there's old folks anymore, as I've already said. I believe, and this is just my thought, the Word of God doesn't say it. Christ died at 33 because that was the age of perfection in which God would have Him do that. And if we're in the likeness of Him, I believe everybody's going to be in that age bracket. You say, what's that mean? There's not going to be no old bodies up there no more. And just reiterates, there's not going to be any kind of pain or sorrow or failure in any way in a body that we've got to worship Christ. Heaven is wonderful because who is there? We got the church, but not only that, it's wonderful because who's there? Because God the Father Himself's there, and God the Son. You know, you can't think about worshiping Him unless you think about the cross. Everything goes back to the cross for the child of God. I can thank Him for a lot of things in my life, but I want to tell you, I don't believe He'd extend the mercy and grace to me like He does if I was not one of His children. And it all goes back to Him dying on the cross. Can you imagine? Oh, it's going to be nice to see loved ones that's going on. It's going to be nice to see some of these in the Word of God that we've heard preaching and teaching about that's been a help to our life. But it's going to be something to actually lay eyes on our Savior. It's going to be something to know the reality of what He left behind to come down here and die for you and I. I can't imagine. I begin to think about how wonderful heaven is, and He put it all aside just for me. If I was the only one, He had done that just for me. And I'm going to get to see Him face to face one of these days. But not only is heaven wonderful because of who's there, but heaven's going to be wonderful because of who's not there. Some people may not like it, but it's the truth of it. It's in the Word of God. In verse number 8 of chapter number 21. It says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth, which fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Heaven's going to be wonderful because who ain't there? You know, you think about, well, that's a bad way to think about it. Well, anybody that tramples through the blood of Christ and refuses Him when He extends that convicted power unto them, the Word of God tells us that He's going to issue judgment upon their life. As He issues that judgment, you and I will rejoice at the judgment of God because it is a right kind of judgment. You think about the things that we deal with down here in this walk of life. You think about how many people are actually carrying a gun at the house of God to protect if something was to come in and hurt us. There's going to be no more thieves. There's going to be no more murderers. There's going to be no more rapists. There's going to be no more whoremongers. There's going to be none of that inside of heaven. There's going to be no locked doors. There's not going to be any having to look behind you anymore because something's going wrong. There's not going to be any kind of fear inside of heaven because the Lord has judged and sent them to hell. I want to tell you, that's going to be wonderful. You and I don't actually understand that. You think about it, if you never had to worry about anything happening to you again because of somebody else, how wonderful that would be. I want to tell you, our Lord has got a lot in store for us. You and I, our feeble little minds have a hard time understanding that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 9, it says, "But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the thing which God hath prepared for them that love Him." That's telling me that we really don't know, we really can't comprehend everything that God has done for you and I. I think about the things of heaven and how wonderful, and I've just hit on a few things, not very much of it. But when I think about how wonderful it really is, it's saying you've not comprehended the beginning of it yet. You really don't know, you really don't understand. And I could go through and I could tell you that we as the children of God have victory in this life. No matter what I face, no matter what I go through, that we have the victory because of the cross of Calvary. But I'm looking forward to the day that becomes a reality when the Lord comes back, and I believe I'll see the rapture when the Lord steps back and calls me home to go with Him. And I'm going to get to know without a doubt that I can declare the victory because I am going home to be with Him. I want to tell you, church, we're facing a lot of opposition in the day that we live in. Facing a lot of trials, a lot of tribulations in life down here. But don't give up. Keep going on. Keep going on. You and I have got a lot to look forward to. And it's going to be worth it. I know you face a lot of hard things, but it will be worth it. I don't understand everything we go through, but God's got a plan. God's got a design. And when I get to life's other side, everything that I thought was wrong down here in my life through them trials, I'm going to be worshiping Him for. Because I'm going to see the backside of it and know that He was wonderful in the midst of it. I'm going to have Him come around and just play a verse of invitation. I don't know what it may be. I don't know if you need to thank God. I don't know if you need to do business with God. I don't know if you're not saved and you need to ask the Lord to save your soul because you haven't got a hope to look forward to. I don't know what it may be, but if God's dealing with your heart, I'd come.